Hello, everyone. We're coming to you live from Astrodipity. I am Cassandra Ritter. This is Tasha Taremi and Kira Yeager. Happy Tuesday. I don't know why I keep saying Wednesday today. It's one of those weeks. It's definitely been a busy week. Today, we want to chat about intuition, afterlife, angel numbers, anything mystique and beautiful, and you know, fantasy, reality. What are your opinions, your thoughts? We certainly have a lot of thoughts. Just before we get into that, I just wanted to give everybody a little heads up as to what is going on with Astrodipity, our dating site based on astrology and based on compatibility through synastry, which are your inner core planets, being your Mercury sun sign, your Venus sign, your Mars, your moon, and your rising sign, of course. So right now we're just primarily marketing in California. We were set to launch in India, this past weekend. However, there are some delays. Just to let everybody know, we're still going forward with that, but it'll be sometime next week, probably at the end of next week. We are very excited. We have a lot of new updates for you. And come June, we will be having guests come on our show every second week. And that should be exciting for us to have discussions and ask questions to other people who are informed and have a lot of knowledge when it comes to astrology, dating, tarot readings, things like that. So how is everybody doing today?
I'm doing great. It's been a busy day, but I'm doing great.
It has been a busy day. And you, Kira?
Yes, I am a little tired because I had a late night last night. So that's my situation, but here I am.
So just on that note, let's get into angel numbers. I wanted to start off with that. I will specifically tell you that in the last year alone, I see 111 everywhere. And I mean everywhere. So I've got screenshots saved on my phone because almost every time it's 11:11, or when I'm checking the clock or my microwave or my oven. And I, at first, I used to think nothing of it. Of course, my whole life since I've been intrigued and interested in astrology and all of that stuff, I've always been curious about 111, 222, and just like everybody else, there are special numbers, and every number is a special number. But I have to say, in the last year, seeing 1111 has definitely made my eyes go, okay, this is a sign. So what are your perspectives on 1111 in particular?
So for me, 1111 can represent the twin flame soulmate. This can be divine unions, but typically the 111 is representative of manifesting. So they're saying be really mindful because you're manifesting at a rapid rate. You have a lot of divine support. So pay attention to what you're thinking of when you see 111, because whatever's on your mind can be the subject or the focus of the manifestation. So they also say when you see 111 to make a wish, because you have powerful manifesting energy at that time.
Absolutely.
So, I was going to say, because I love this. I love talking about this because I have been making a wish on 1111 or 111 ever since I was 15 years old.
Awesome.
I've been doing it ever since then. So that's a lot of years of me making wishes because I see those numbers. And if I see the numbers on, like Cassandra was saying, the oven, the microwave, the phone, wherever I see them, you can bet I am making a wish when I see them.
And so have you seen the results of your wishes?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I can't think of anything specific at this very moment in time, but I know that a lot of things that I've wanted have come true over the years. So there's no doubt that I've made a wish and it's happened. Maybe not right away, but it will happen. I have faith. When I make a wish on those numbers, I have absolute faith that my wish will come true.
Right, exactly.
I have a little bit of a different perspective. I know everybody has their own way of seeing this, and there's a lot of information out there, and there's so much you can read on if you were to Google 1111 or 222 or 888, but 1111 specifically, as far as I know, and this is what I've learned over the years, is that it really is letting you know that your guides or spirit guides or your ancestors or anybody up above are telling you that you're on the right path. Basically, more to say that you're going the right direction and stay on that path. And from what I've read up about, you know, there's so many things that you could get information on. But I would have to say that I am a big believer that there must be something to it, because for 1111, never in my whole life have I seen 1111. And I'm not talking 111, which is different. And there are angel numbers, there are life path numbers, there are master numbers. There's so many ways you can look at numbers. Numbers are everything in the universe. But 1111 happens to be one where, you know, it talks about you being on the right path. Don't stray away from that path, letting you know that there is support around you, which I hope, of course, is the case, because for the last year, I think I see it every day, daily. And then, of course, I've also experienced in the last 2 years, when I started working on this company, I would experience, and I still am, 3-8, so 888, 555 a lot, 222 today. But I do believe 1111, in my perception, is telling you that you're on the right path, stay on that path. However, now, after that conversation, is it hard to believe in that stuff, or do you find it easy to believe? Because don't forget, this is several people's perception, and perception alone. There is no way of proving any of this. And then there is, you know, a lot of people who don't believe in numbers or angel numbers or, you know, manifesting numbers or spirit guides and things like that. Is it difficult to believe?
Well, I have proof. So, like, I've been seeing triple numbers my whole adult life, like my whole entire adult life. And before I even really realized, I would communicate because I knew it was the angels communicating with me. For example, I remember when I was pregnant with my last child, which was 18 years ago, going through the drive-thru at McDonald's and getting a sandwich and taking a bite and getting a wave of nausea and thinking, uh-oh. On the way back, I remember saying, please show me, give me a sign to let me know if I'm pregnant. I saw 1111 on the side of the road.
Wow.
On a mile.
In other words, right path. Definitely your guides are with you. You've got support.
So they were giving me the answer. They showed me the numbers to let me know that, yes, you're pregnant. I got a test, went home, and I was pregnant. So that's how I have communicated with them. Like, I will ask and I will say, give me a sign. And I've even been more specific to say, if you will show me 555, then I will know XYZ, you know, whatever the specific question is. That's how I know that it's real. It's legit. But not everyone believes, you know, and that's okay.
It's not also that not everybody believes, but also not everybody sees numbers. I certainly didn't see numbers my whole life. I can honestly say, or it could be that I didn't pay attention. Yeah. But I would definitely say that in today's day and age, when we're looking at our phones all the time or on computers and everything, there's definitely, it's much easier to see numbers than if you go back 20 years ago when there were no phones, no tablets, no anything like that. Then, you know, your odds of seeing numbers were what, in the sky?
Right. I've actually had three cars in a line on the interstate, all lined up with triple numbers on every single car right in the row.
My and God, that is
happened when I was telling my ex-husband that I'm constantly seeing triple numbers, and he was like, "Oh, it's a coincidence, nothing." And then all of a sudden, as we're having the discussion in the car, I said, "Well, how do you explain that? How do you explain that?" All lined up.
Synchronicities, coincidences, you have to believe. Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty exceptional. I have to say that this is, like I said, only in the last year has 1111 been happening almost every day. And Once I do notice it, and then it happens three hours later, I'm sitting there saying, "This, there has to be truth to all of this. Like, I'm a believer for a reason. I'm a believer because it keeps happening now. Right. It's not because of the research I've done, because it never happened before. But also 888, triple, now I'm not going 1111, I'm going down to triple numbers, which all have different meanings. But it's also dependent on who you read. Like who you read. So let's say you're doing a tarot reading for someone, and this is directed at you, Tasha. If you're reading somebody in particular and 222 comes up or 555 comes up, you've got your specific interpretation of what that means. And that's what you're going to tell them, correct?
Right.
So how do other people take it when you start talking about numbers like that?
Well, the people that I read for are spiritually open. So, of course, they're open to the numbers because they've been seeing them too. Because once you have a spiritual awakening, your perception of everything has changed. You see things you didn't see before. And we just 1111 was just on the timer as I'm saying this.
Wow.
You see things different. Your perception is different. Your views, your thoughts, everything is different. So the people I read have already gone through an awakening. So they're open spiritually.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, I know for me what the numbers mean and how they correlate, you know, and I also have spirit guides that talk to me. So if they tell me something that's different, then I will tell them whatever they tell me. So, but typically it's pretty much the same.
Right.
With the numbers. 8 is the number of abundance, but also the number of universal law, cause and effect. The energy you're putting in coming back to you. So it's an amazing number.
8, 8. Yes. 8 is the most powerful number, but it's also the number of karma.
Yes. So, cause and effect.
Yeah. And karma, it can be up or down. It's really, there is no, you know, whatever you've done in your, but once again, these are theories and these are what people believe and the research that's been done. And people, obviously the people that believe in these things, myself included, obviously feel this way because they've seen proof over the years, or proof, which is their perception of what's happened in their life. But you know what, either way, whether or not these things are actually just someone's perception or not, the reality is it's your perception. And whatever you believe to be true is the truth, period, right? Isn't that the saying? Whatever you believe to be true is the truth because it's your belief system.
Right.
So what would you say about, let's not just make it simply about 888 or 1111, but what about the fact that these numbers are also used seriously in numerology, numerology has been around for, my gosh, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And there's a lot of people out there that believe numerology is the way to go when it comes to starting a business, getting into a relationship, defining your life, picking a path, going after a career. What would you say about that if you were to use numbers in numerology?
Kara, I'll let you answer that.
Well, I think it's funny you mentioned that because I have this, and I'd love to get your opinions on this, but I have this weird thing where I don't want to live in a house that doesn't have the right number in terms of like the actual, you know, the door number or the house number. It's gotta, you know, have like the right numbers. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about that, but I'm, as you know, I want to move and I want to like find a new house to live in. And I've been working on that. And I've been like looking at the listings on the internet and seeing what's available to buy. And if the house number doesn't appeal to me, I'll just be like, I don't want that one. I can't believe I'm looking at the house number to make a decision, but I am. So would you guys do that or no?
Do you want to go first, Tasha?
Well, so the house that we're moving to this year is 307, which reduces to a 10, which further reduces to a 1, which is a new beginning.
Yep. Nice. It's right in line.
So have I thought about it? Yes, I thought about it.
Okay.
Well, You know what? I'm the same as you guys, because first of all, I'm in 11 right now. Now there's, once again, there's research on good and bad when it comes to 11. And apparently you'd think that 11 being a master number would be a good number, but in a house, apparently it's not. In a house, you have to make sure you're constantly cleaning the energy. I just learned this 2 days ago, by the way. And that the energy, if you're not wary and very, very hyper aware of the energy in that house and who is there before you, et cetera, that it could be really hard for you. And I can tell you, I don't know if it's, this is where you have to say, you're either skeptical or you're not, right? So I picked the name for this company that we have based on numerology, obviously. And because Steve Jobs did the same thing, other people, other professionals out there have used numerology to build their businesses, pick their names, and go forward based on numerology. But I didn't think I would ever get to the point where I'm thinking about my house number until recently. And I'm going, well, everything has to, you know, I feel like 1111 is such a good number. But as far as a house number, I'm going, well, what I'm reading about it is not a good number. And it's actually affecting the way I think, because now that I'm more intrigued and more interested and always, always into this stuff, you learn a lot, and then you have to wonder, is this affecting my daily life or not? And you have to wonder, if you were to move into a house that was 88 or 44, which turns into an 8, would you be better off or not? You have to wonder, because numerology is such a big thing. So it's a very interesting topic. Very, very interesting.
It definitely is. We have a comment. Michael said he sees 9/11. He's been seeing 9/11 for years. He's also been seeing 11/11. So, and you know, it doesn't have to be 1/1/1, three consecutive numbers. If you, the synchronicity, like I always see 9/13, and that is my date of birth. I always see 9/1/3, always.
Which would work out to a 4, which is actually... And fours are all about structure and stability, and the building blocks when it comes to numerology. So I think if there's any number, that I would want in my numerology chart, because I know all aspects of it, 4 is definitely one of them I don't have. And I love that number.
That's my life path number is four.
Hey,
my life path number is 4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful, because it really is about structure and building and the building blocks. And I mean, my life path actually, it's funny you just brought up your life path, because they say master numbers, there's a lot of literature on master numbers being only 11, 22, and 33. And then I found out it's not the case. They go up to 99. So, if you were to go on TikTok and look at a lot of videos, there's a lot of people going, no, they only go up to 33, but they're only reading, you know, the typical books on numerology and this and that. If you dive deeper into it, which I've done, I found out that me being a life path 1, which is all about leadership and leading and new beginnings, but definitely entrepreneurship, you know, business owners, things like that. I'm definitely that life path 1. However, my birthday breaks down into, it starts at a 55, which according to some of these other people that believe in higher master numbers, I'd be a 55, which is, you know, in and itself, a whole other thing that there's not much information on YouTube and TikTok and things like that. It's only when you actually go into deeper books and deeper authors and stuff like that. And then that 55 breaks down into a 10, which also means a lot on its own. And that 10 breaks down into a 1. And when I started reading up on the 55, the 10, and the 1, it's mind-boggling how accurate this can be. But then you take away your life path number, go into just your personality number. That would be your date of birth. So not your whole date of birth, but the day of the month you were born. So in other words, I'm a three, which is all about communication because I'm born on the 30th. Your number would be what?
Well, I'm 9/13, so 9.
So yours would be 13, which would be a four.
Four.
That would be your personality.
I'm still a four.
Still a four. And Kira, what's yours?
You're going to have to remind me. How do I calculate that?
Oh, it's a
month
seven,
and day.
Seven. Because your birthday is on a seven, oh, right?
Got it.
That's your personality number. So a seven is very intuitive and psychic and very spiritual and open to everything, you know, past lives, things like that, things about the universe, which Tasha, you wanted to talk about as well now.
What was it that you wanted me to talk about again?
The universe and the different things that have happened based on intuition, not anymore talking about numerology, but other things that coincide with it.
So basically, and like you said, you know, people have to be open to spirituality and things like that. The one thing I would love to discuss is how you can interact with the spiritual realm, because people, when they awaken, they're really confused by this. They expect that somebody's going to be yelling in their ear, and it doesn't work that way, because in the spiritual realm, all communication is typically telepathic. Unless you have, you know, the ability to hear audibly, which they don't have a need to communicate audibly. It's mind to mind. So people that want to communicate with their spirit guides, be aware of the thoughts and the things you hear in your mind, because see, the ego, which is in all of us, our ego, is loud and obnoxious. But the spiritual realm, they're softer, they're more discreet in their communication. So you have to be aware and tune in, and you will be able to tell the difference between your guides and the spiritual realm. Your guides and the ego.
So let's go into what you just said. Now, a lot of people can't tell the difference, or a lot of people would say that's not how they interpret things. You're saying that, so sort of like your gut should be telling you, right?
Your gut is a feeling. I'm talking about direct telepathic communication, because we all have spirit guides. We all have guardian angels. We all have ancestors that are around us, you know, our loved ones that have passed, and they communicate regularly with us. It's just, we're conditioned to tune out the things that go on in our mind. We're conditioned to tune it out. It's practicing mindfulness, being more aware of the things that you hear. For example, I'm going to give an example.
Good.
I was talking to my guides. I was in the shower about Mother's Day, just in general. And they brought up, because my mom has Alzheimer's, you know, and how difficult it is, because people that have parents that have Alzheimer's, you know, they're expressing so much love to them, and it's disheartening because they're not there. And my guide spoke to me and said, they are aware. And they said to continue to express love, regardless of whether you have a parent with Alzheimer's, they are aware. The soul is aware, is what they said. The soul is aware. And they gave me the example of someone that's in a coma. And you know how they say, talk to them, they can hear you. Well, it's not the physical body that can hear you. So it's the soul that is in the body while the body is dormant that is getting the information that is being received by the person that is alive and talking to them. And so when they come out of the coma, the memory is then placed from the soul to the body, because the body is dormant when they're in a coma. So it's the same thing they said with Alzheimer's. They're aware. Their soul is aware. You have to continue to express love. So I don't know why I even gave that example. Maybe somebody needs to hear that.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. It helped me.
And happy Mother's Day to both of you, by the way.
Happy Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. We all deserve that. I agree with you, everything you said. The only thing is, I think a lot of people can't hear things. I know for a lot of people, you know, obviously for everybody, meditation is very good for you, but that depends on who you are and what your character is. For some people, example, she's not around, but my daughter, I don't think she could just sit still. I used to be like that. Whereas now, as I've grown and as I get older, like everyone else, peace is everything to me. And sometimes people question whether what they're thinking or their thoughts or what they're telling themselves are actually spirit guides, or whether it's just their brain, you know, because don't forget, we've got like the little good guy on one side and the little bad guy on the other side. And you've got, you know, your brain telling you some things. I'll give you an example. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you're thinking to yourself, okay, what should I do next week? Or where should I move? Do I want to move to another country or do I not? And part of you is saying, oh my God, but it's going to be hard. And there's all of these challenges, and you're talking yourself out of it. Now there's a part of you that wants it. There's this whole other side of you that does not. You've got both sides. They're both genuinely correct, if you want to say. Both, you know, points on both ends. However, can you say in that situation, well, listen to your guides and one's telling you? I don't think that's accurate enough to say at that point, and not everybody's going to experience every single time that they're getting the right information. I think sometimes,
well, when you're anxious, you're blocking your connection with the divine. Any low vibration, anxiety, sadness, depression, or anger is going to block your connection. So the only way to be able to connect is when you're at peace within yourself. You're calm, you're quiet. So I agree. If somebody is stressed and anxious about a decision, they're blocking their ability to connect with their own guides. They won't, right. They won't know.
But in most cases, the average person, I mean, unless you're very, very fortunate in many ways, if we're getting real and talking real talk, the average person can't just sit there and, unless you're 100% certain, and not everybody is good at, you know, being decisive. I know when it comes to business decisions, a lot of people find it easier to make those kind of decisions. But when it comes to relationships, let's say, or moving to different cities or different countries, even though that's something they would want, they are indecisive because there are so many, you have to weigh the pros and cons, right? So unless you have a, you know, like literally, unless you have a guide telling you, no, no, that's where to go, what are the odds?
It's going to take practice
at that point. Yeah.
It's going to take practice because, you know, yes. Just to give you a quick example. When I had a medical issue back in November, I got a $29,000 bill and I was stressed out. I mean, I was so upset. I had all this nervous energy. I thought I was going to break down and cry because I had a $29,000 bill. So I got up, I started painting the fireplace because I thought I have this negative energy and I got to get it out of me. So I'm going to paint the fireplace just to get it out of me. So I'm painting the fireplace. And then I go and I plop down the couch and I'm like, oh, and then I hear my guides. And guess what he said to me?
What?
He said, when's the last time anyone ever died from medical debt?
Oh, sweetie. You know what? Can I borrow your guides? I need to borrow your guides. Enough of this.
They're sexy. I started dying laughing because it's true. But I couldn't hear him until he's like, you go do your thing. And then when you're done and you're settled down, then I got something to say to you.
Okay. After this whole thing, I'm calling you and you're going to set me up with your guides because I decided my guides are not good enough.
Yes, they are.
What about you, Kira? Have you had any little, you know?
Well, here's the way I see it. And I don't see it this way. This is not me that came up with this. You know, this is me learning, researching, reading, etc. But what I've come to believe is that your desire, when you have a desire, whether it's to move to a new house or pursue a new relationship or, you know, pursue a new career, when you have a desire, that in and of itself is the guides telling you, this is what you, you know, this is what you, where you should be going. This is your path. So to me, it's the desire that's the guide saying, okay, this is where you have to go. So
you don't think you have anything to do with, see, this is where I can question things, because I believe to me, that's part of manifesting. And that's absolutely 100% certain in my mind that without desire, you can't manifest anything. Everything that I've manifested in my life has been because of my feelings, not my thoughts, my feelings, and how I feel about something, wanting something, desiring something. However, I don't know that it's your guides talking, that I'm more likely to say that's coming from, I believe in guides, but I also believe that you yourself have a lot to do with it, and that your soul, not your guide, but your soul, not everything comes from something outside of yourself, that it comes from inside yourself. And this is where I want to go and get on this topic, because you're saying that you believe the desire comes from guides and things like that, and they're telling you what to desire. But then what about your own soul?
Well, I see what you're saying, and I don't think I necessarily was trying to say that the guides are telling you what to desire. But I think that when you have a desire that does come from within your soul, that does, your guides are working with you simultaneously to say, yes, pursue this. Yet, you know, like that desire, it's kind of it's all happening together symbiotically, you know? So you're having like this idea or a thought or a desire, a want, a need, whatever you want to call it. Like I want to move to a new country. And when that comes up, it's like a symbiotic relationship with the spirit realm. And it's kind of like, you know, hinting toward you thinking, okay, go down this path now. Yeah. It's really hard to explain.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful.
I don't know.
And so what happens? Here's a question for both of you. What happens? Both of you, I want both your different answers. And you have to put yourself in the situation right now. So I'll start with you, Tasha.
Okay.
So there's a little guy on your left shoulder right now telling you, Tasha, don't move August 1st. Don't move. It could be the wrong decision. What are you doing about this?
So
how are you reacting to that?
Because I was already given the green light by my guides. In fact, it correlated what she's talking about. It happened to me. It gave me the feeling of it's time to go. It's time to go. You have to let go.
Okay. But opposite situation, you're being told now, I'm saying the what ifs are coming in, the what ifs. So the little guy on your shoulder is not giving you the green light anymore. He's going, but what if this happens? What about you leaving family members, etc.? What do you do in that case?
So if I were prone to falling to the temptation of the naysaying of the mind,
yes,
I would pray about it. I would pray. I would pray and ask for clarity. I would ask for triple numbers. I'd ask for downloads, dreams, whatever, all of the above.
A sign.
Yes.
A clear sign.
However,
yep.
My guides don't make mistakes. They don't make mistakes. So when they give me the answer, when they tell me this is your time, it's time to go now. And they do it in the form of feeling, like Kira said, it comes over you. Okay, yeah, I have to do it. It's time to go. And they also speak to me. But even without what they have to say, the feeling itself was, it's a sense of urgency that I have to make this decision because it's
That's
right.
That's what it is. That's yes. what it is, a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And you know what? Well, at least in the business realm, I treat everything as it's urgent. That's part of my DNA, my character. I respond to texts fast. I don't leave anybody waiting. You know, I get places early. I'm never late ever. Unless I've had a car accident and, you know, I've got right. a neck brace on or something. But I agree with that statement, and that's a very good way to put it. So if anybody doesn't understand, that makes a lot of sense, that, you know, it's logical and rational, not just spiritual, but logical. It's very logical what you said.
What about you, Kara? What, yeah. How would you deal with the inner voice after you've already got confirmation from the feeling, from your guides, mm-hmm. this is right. Yep. And then you start backtracking like, oh, I don't know. Is this, what would you do?
Yeah, I what I need to do in those situations is I have to use my logic. So I have to be like, okay, this is my insecurity coming through. This is my, these are doubts coming through. Let's analyze these doubts. Let's look at them. Why are they coming up? And this is where it gets all crazy in my brain, because then I'm like, is this a childhood trauma that I'm trying to deal with? Like, I really do go there and I'm like, is this happening? Am I thinking this way because something that's happened to me when I was a little girl and now I have this insecurity? So that's what I do.
But how do you put it to bed?
By doing that, by analyzing the situation,
once I've
come up with, you know, the what I feel is the correct analysis of the situation, then I can be like, oh, it's just like a childhood trauma that has arisen, and that's what it is. And knowing that that's what it is, I can put it down, you know, I can suppress it and tell it, you know. Okay, thank you. Agreed. I've dealt with you now. Go away.
Very logical. The fear of failure, you know, that is a trauma that people carry over into adulthood. They're afraid to fail. And mm-hmm. so that can be a reason why you would be having mixed feelings when you've already made the decision because of that trigger, the fear of failure. So that's good that you do that, because if you recognize it's a trigger, you can address it and you can release it. It's the people that can't address it as a trigger that are like, well, I don't know now. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Diving deeper into this whole topic about how we analyze and everything, which is a huge Virgo trait. Huge, 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 huge. And you'd swear Kira's a Virgo as well, because she's just like us, Tasha.
Yeah.
But everything Kira just said, yeah, very logical as well. And it's true. But there are people out there who literally can't come to that decision, even if their mind is quiet. They just can't. And like you had said before, Tasha, on several podcasts, that sometimes people aren't evolved enough. And I do think that whether you have the capability, I don't believe at all that everybody has, that everybody is capable of being intuitive and things like that. I think there are just some people that absolutely aren't and never will be. This is where I believe in astrology to some degree, that you either have those parts in your chart or you don't. I have a lot of Scorpio in my chart, and that Scorpio is all about intuition and things like this. And I've been like this since I was little, just little. But there are people out there that have zero water in their charts or zero, or let's say a Sagittarius, just as an example. And they are, you can tell when they're talking that they're not, you know, intuitive or anything like that. They're just talking about stuff they learned. Or I'm just giving you one example of a sign, and it's a fire sign. Whereas if you have a water sign, you're more likely to have intuitive capabilities or have things like be into ghosts or spirits or your pet, for example, dying and what happens to them after. So I definitely would stand by that not everybody is capable of it, but I do believe as you grow older, you definitely become more self-aware, and it does take a trigger usually to bring out that transformation, that self-awareness, that light, if you want to call it, that makes you aware of all these things, these beautiful things that to a lot of people like us who are grateful for 1111s, 222s, 555s, 10 years ago, I wouldn't be grateful for the numbers because they were just numbers. Now they mean so much more.
Right. I kind of disagree with the idea that everyone doesn't have the ability. I agree that not everyone will connect with that ability because they're not evolved or what have you, whatever reason, their belief system. But I believe that because we are all created by God, we are a part of God. And so it is natural and innate for us to connect in that way spiritually. But you have to obviously be open to it. So everyone, because they are God's creation, is connected and is able to do it. It's at whether they're open to do it. So and obviously the signs, like, yes, it's going to be, you're going to be more open. You're going to be, maybe have more abilities if you're a water sign versus a fire sign. Mm-hmm. I get that. And I'm in agreement with that. But I do believe that every human on this planet has the ability inside of them because of their God's creation. But that's my belief. That's my
And I completely understand what you're saying. Not necessarily based on astrology, though. I would have to say that you're right. It's based on whether they're able to be open or not. Yeah. But that's where it comes into. There are many examples. Telepathy. Telepathy, there's many different scopes of your psychic abilities, let's say. Yeah. I do not believe, and according to research, it's not possible for everybody to have any of these, actually, but that you are gifted. I believe it's a gift. I don't believe everybody has the ability. I do believe everybody has the ability to be open, though, to the possibility of numbers and things like that. But I don't believe that everybody has the ability, has these gifts. I think they are gifts. I think the people who have them have a gift. The fact they're open to it means they can tune into it more than other people. Do I believe all 1,000 people standing in front of me would have that ability, even if they're open? I don't believe that. Mm. But that's just the way I feel. That's my belief system. I truly think some people are gifted in areas and other people aren't, just like in your astrology chart. You either have these things or you don't, because I think we're all unique in our own ways. And I think if we all were capable of having these abilities, then there wouldn't be anything special about it. We'd go on with our lives.
Well, there's so many abilities. So I agree with what you're saying, because not everyone is going to have the exact gifts, but what I'm talking about, your connection with the divine, is, you know, to be able to tap into your intuition, to be able to connect with God, to pray. It doesn't have anything to do with the gifts, the specific gifts, clairaudient, clairsentient, you know, all those gifts. But you have an innate connection with the creator because you're made from God. So it's different than breaking it down into more.
That's dependent on your belief, right? You can, if God is what you, that is your faith, or whether it's the universe or a different higher power, but there is obviously something out there. Like, I mean, it's a big universe and clearly we're on this small little planet. That's very, very obvious. But how everybody connects to the higher power is their choice and their choice alone. But that's all I was trying to point out is that I think everybody truly is unique. And if we just had a bunch of us who could literally be open, then we wouldn't have the issues we have today. Whereas there's a lot of people who aren't capable because they do have triggers like you brought up, or childhood traumas like you brought up, Kira. And as we age, a lot of us become aware, and then there's other people who never become aware. I think it's also a choice we make whether we want to grow or work on something that we're aware of, or whether we just are completely okay with living the way we live, right? Would you agree with that statement? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's painful to heal from trauma. It's painful. Yes. And not everyone has the courage to do it. And yes, I'm going to say it that way because it takes
courage. Wonderful the way you said it. Courage. It is courage. But a lot, when you're in that moment, when you're going through that, I don't think it feels like it's courage you need for the person going through it, right?
It's life altering. It's tragic. It's painful. And you're isolated and all you have is your faith.
So, yeah, all you have is faith, but faith is important. And that's one thing I love about you, Tasha, because your faith is so strong. And that I believe that having faith in something doesn't, and I'm not trying to tell anybody what to have faith in, and I would never be that person and don't want to be a person like that. But I am saying that for me, when I listen to you, Tasha, I love that about you. It's a beautiful, beautiful quality. And I really wish the entire world thought like that. no matter what their faith is, as long as they have a faith in something, because that helps give you, number four, structure, stability, something to keep you on the path and right. stay on a path, and it helps you continue on that path without swaying too much. And I think that's so important for everybody to have in the astrology world, numerology world, spirit world. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you. What do you think about it, Kira?
Well, as Cassandra was talking, I just, you know, started thinking about how important it is to not just to have, you know, some kind of a belief or a faith in something, a greater power, because that, you know, that is very important, but let's face it, not everybody does. But no matter what, as a human being, I think you absolutely must, I'm not trying to preach to anyone here, but I personally feel it's very important to at least in your lifetime learn about self-love and self-care, self-love. I think that is really a wonderful thing to focus on at some point in your life, and it can be very empowering and it can be very freeing. And I remember, Tasha, you talked about a little bit about that in a previous podcast, and you know, I remember you said, like, look in the mirror and I love you. And I've been, you know, doing a little bit of that. And I've just been thinking to myself, like, okay, I want to take a nice relaxing bath right now. And that's some self-care. So I just, I just think that people need to remember, go back to that concept a lot, you know?
Okay. Well, so taking both of you now, so taking what Tasha said and taking what you said, Kira, I think both are important. So to have faith in something, yes, self-love is very, very important. We did have a long, amazing conversation on that. But just getting back to what Tasha was talking about, having faith in the higher power, that is why religion was created. And before that, astronomy and astrology came out and all these things have been there and stand to this time in our life for a very good reason. And that reason is not just about your belief systems. It's also very much about helping give guidance to people and helping them stay on the good, solid path and helping them. It's sort of like when you're raising children, you can't just say, okay, in 10 years from now, let's say your children are 5 and 6 years old. I'm just throwing it out there. You can't just expect them when they're 15 or 16 to know how to go out and write a check and rent an apartment and go off and be on their own. There has to be some guidance, something. So I think what Tasha said earlier about people having faith and if you have something to believe in, I think not just self-love, that goes without saying, is important, but I really, really believe now more than ever, and I'm finally on that show saying more now than ever, that it's really important for somebody, everybody, not just someone, everyone, to have something to believe in. It's a good thing. Any way you put it out there, it's just a good thing. It's good for your soul. It's good for when you're in doubt, when you're all over the place and you can't figure out what decision do I go with. For all the people who are lonely and don't have someone, you know, to care for or to be around, or no family members or not a lot of friends or not doing well, having faith in something, and that could be not just anything, not a box of cookies, obviously, but God or you know, the big man in the universe, or if you want to go the alien route, whatever you want. But that being your faith, I think it's really, really important. And for whatever reason, I guess my spirit guides are telling me now that I think it's more important now more than ever, especially with everything going on in the world, the way things have been. But I think that's really a beautiful thing. And yeah, if we all listen and quiet our minds, which is not easy for everybody, and I'm definitely one of those people who needs to quiet their mind. But if we all were able to do that, it would be a lot easier to believe in that faith and have that faith, which is so important, because a lot of situations would be resolved if people had more faith. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that because without having something good to believe in that's morally correct, it has its laws, God has its laws, the universe has its laws, without having those, that structure, once again, number four, that structure in place, life is not easy. And if we were able to teach ourselves and teach each other that, you know, with a little bit of structure, that is going to get you places a lot quicker and a lot faster if you put these into motion and have some faith that everything will work out, which also helps a lot of people get out of, you know, heartbreaking situations, relationship situations. Everything will be okay if you have faith in whatever it is that you choose to have that faith in.
Right.
It's a very beautiful concept.
I agree, definitely. And I have been watching some really powerful near-death experiences. Have you guys watched any of those?
Oh my God. I have to say I've definitely gone down the YouTube rabbit hole of listening to near-death experiences.
Wow. I know it. So what one have you, did you come across that you can summarize, Kira?
Well, there's one that I like to talk about because it was just really, really interesting to me. So it was a man recounting his near-death experience, and I can't remember how he passed on, but he said that during his time on the other side, he was asked if he had any questions. And one of his questions was, are there, you know, is there life on other planets? And the being said yes. And he's like, well, can I meet them? And the being said yes. And he went and met them. And then, you know, ended up back here on planet Earth in, you know, his human body and had this amazing experience to talk about. And I just couldn't believe that one. I was so like amazed by it. I'm like, wow, it's almost like I would love for that to happen to me too, you know?
So is that something that you're clear? So what is your belief? So what do you believe happens? We all agree that we're all energy, right? And that is also a scientific fact. So it's not just, you know, fantasy. So what do you believe happens to your soul, to the energy that encompasses your body after you die?
It returns home.
Where is home?
Well, heaven, depending on your judgment. I mean, I do believe there is a hell, and I think that you would have to be pretty bad to go there, but I do believe it exists. I also do believe in other lives. So
you believe in reincarnation?
I do. And I do. And I never have before, up until my awakening. I never believed in reincarnation. But I do now, because of all of the information I've received from my guides and why we go in through, you know, why we are reincarnated, how that works. So I definitely believe that, you know, there is a hierarchy in heaven, and I believe that you are at whatever level that you have achieved. It's like education. So you come here to learn. And just like in college, you get a degree. If you get an associate degree, you're at one level. If you get a bachelor's, you're at another level. If you're a master's, and so on and so forth. And I feel like heaven is the same way. So we reincarnate because there are lessons that will help our soul to evolve and grow and ascend to a higher level. So if we don't get it right, we will return and go through it again until we do get it right and our soul can elevate to a higher level. And in the Bible, it actually talks about levels in heaven. And I'm not sure the exact place. Mm-hmm. I can't quote it, but I know it's in the Bible. So that's why I believe that we reincarnate. So that we have, you know, it's not a one and done. Okay, you had one chance. That's it. You're staying in the low level.
Right. And you, Kira, what do you think happens? This, of course, to everybody is just our opinion.
Yes. Well, like, I
change anybody or make anybody think anything. I always want to point that out.
Yeah. Well, as I was just saying, I have listened to quite a few near-death experiences on YouTube. And you know how it is, you find one and then there's another one that comes up as a suggestion. So next thing you know, you're listening to a few of them in a row. But I do believe that from what I've heard, that you have a consciousness, a soul, a consciousness, and that will never die. Mm-mm. So that lives on. If your human body passes on, you have a consciousness that continues to think, you know, or maybe not think the same way we think when we're on this planet, but think in a certain way, have awareness of self in a certain way. And that consciousness continues to goes on and experiences things in on another plane. And that's basically the way I see it. But
there's so many different realities for so many people out there. There's so many ways. And I myself have changed. I unlike you, Tasha, for years since I was little, believed in reincarnation. It's only actually been up until my mom died that my views changed. That's what changed it. But I was a huge believer. Like since I was, oh my gosh, probably 3 years old, without anybody even telling me about it, believed in this stuff. And my uncle used to did past life regression. So my whole family on my father's side is into all of that stuff. But now my views have changed. And I'm honestly not sure because I'm more, I think, on the science side than I am on that side, simply because my mother did die. But I hope, I do have the hope, you know, but I'm also very aware because I know so much on the scientific end, you know, how your brain continues for 7 minutes after your body dies, your heart stops. It's got 7 minutes of consciousness there, and then your nerves die and your brain is no longer working. Now I understand that in my understanding or what I guess I'm torn. It depends on the day, really, what I'm feeling, but that energy doesn't die, that we all know. That's physics. And I'm a lover of physics. It's actually my preference when it comes to anything I study. I have always loved physics. And so just like a light bulb, the energy in the light, like when the light goes out, it's only because of the two, gosh, I'm not an electrician though, but the two components in it, that breaks. But the energy that made it light up doesn't dissipate. That continues on forever. So I do believe in energy. Do I believe in a consciousness that it can think and speak and everything like that? That I guess now, 10 years later, 12 years later, actually, I worry that, you know, I was wrong for all those years when I did believe. And that's kind of scary because, of course, I miss my pets and my mom and everybody in my life. So it's kind of scary that I've come to a point where I'm more on the science side now and less on that side, because I do pray, you know, to come in contact with souls and everything. It just, but on a deeper note than that, getting into moms, now that I just brought it up, what did you guys have any special things happen for your moms over Mother's Day while we're talking about moms?
I just went to visit her and took her flowers. Like I said, my mom has Alzheimer's, so she didn't remember. In fact, as soon as I gave her the flowers, I said, you know, do you like your flowers? She said, yeah, Dad got those for me. I said, oh, that was so nice of him. It's okay, you know, but so we just had lunch and visited, and I sat outside with her, and, you know, I said, was I a bad kid, Mom? She said, no, you weren't ever a bad kid.
Well, thank God she doesn't remember. No, I'm joking.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wanted to get that confirmation.
Exactly. You needed that confirmation. Yes. You know what? My hat's off to you. You come from a larger family. I come from a huge family, but not in my immediate family. So no siblings or anything like that. And Kira, you do have a larger family as well, like Tasha, I believe, correct?
There are relatives, but unfortunately they're all out west.
I mean your brothers and sisters.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the whole
caboodle. You have siblings.
I do, yeah. I have a brother and a sister, and yeah, a mom and a dad, and we're all in touch. Everyone talks. And
so what I was going to say was about moms having more kids. Like, my mother only had me, and in today's day and age, mothers tend to have one child or two children. Not all mothers, of course, dad. But in the olden days, people had lots of children. And of course, they would all be of different signs and different spiritual values and different things. Can you imagine how hard it would have been for those moms? And I just have to say, wow, Mother's Day every year, now that I don't have my mother, it's even more important every year, because I really, really, really realize just how unique and how special and how much gratitude we have to give moms in general. Like your mom who's got Alzheimer's, your mom is still alive and well, right, Kira? Yeah. Because back then, 20, 30, 40 years ago, moms just had so many kids. I know my mother was one of nine children. They had so many kids. And if you can imagine getting into the astrology part of our dating site, they were all different personalities, and each child was a different challenge. That I just wanted to point out how special moms are and how we take it for granted, how our children, in fact, take us for granted as moms. Sometimes it's just the way today is, but to be thankful for every moment you have with your moms, because you only have one mom. That's it. Never another. And boy, do we put moms through a lot. We put them through a lot.
I was an angel. I'm sorry. I was an angel.
I wish I had a video camera back then.
She confirmed it for me. I already asked her.
Did your guides tell you that? Did your guides just tell you, yeah, I was an angel? You see, no. That's why I'm asking about guides. What if your guides are wrong?
No, they didn't tell me that. They didn't need to.
But all that to say, it was Mother's Day weekend, which was initially supposed to be our topic of conversation. And what I wanted to talk about, however, we weren't able to do Sunday, which was good because it was Mother's Day. It was about us as moms and our moms. And not just about the moms, but you could be a pet mom, a dog mom. It really doesn't matter.
A dad mom. There are plenty of dads that is the mother figure.
I agree with that as well. There's so many dads that play both roles, and that are all anybody has. And so that was initially supposed to be our topic. And we were going to talk about the different signs as dads or as moms, not dads, as moms, but now bringing in dads as well. And just to say that when we're going back into the conversation that we were having about spiritual things and everything, because it was Mother's Day, how much I would love to know, have a spirit guide tell me from up above that my mom is looking down right now and saying, you guys rock. You guys are the best. You Virgos and you Geminis, you rock. And
you need to ask for a sign and she'll give you one.
Yeah. I'll quiet my mind down today and ask for that sign.
I ask for triple numbers. Ask your mom, if you're with me, show me 555 or 1111 or 333 or whatever, or show me a specific bird or show me a butterfly. Be specific.
And now I do have to say that it's not just numbers that give you signs, by the way, it is animals as well. And I can tell you about an experience. Since you guys shared one, I had, this is before my stepdad who raised me with my mom. I had something happen, and this is where I instinctively knew something was going on. My stepdad had gone into the hospital. He was there for something that wasn't supposed to be deadly or anything like that. And he had gone into the hospital, and I was driving with my son and my daughter in the car, and I was on the highway, and a crow hit my car. And for whatever reason, before the crow hit my car, I wanted to swerve, because if a crow hits your car, in my mind, that's something awful. And I don't know why I feel that. It's an instinct. It's not because I've read anything, still haven't. I can honestly tell you that crow hitting my car, because it wasn't meant to. He could have went above us, to the right, to the left, whatever. I really, really knew in that moment something just happened. Something bad just happened. And that very day I found out my stepdad would have to go under for a serious surgery, in which a week and a half later he didn't make it. But point is that I knew in that moment. So I believe in things like that. Without a doubt, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, I've seen shadows as a child. I would be in our house and I would tell my mother, of course, "Mom, I just saw something." And she would say, "No, you probably didn't." And I've wondered about things like that. Has anything ever happened like that with you guys?
Kara, I'll let you answer that. I could talk to you for hours about that.
I have stories too. Yeah.
I do believe about the animal thing. I've been told, or maybe I read it somewhere, that a cardinal showing up in your line of vision is someone who has passed on, coming back to say hello. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I see a cardinal, I just always think, oh, I wonder who that is, you know, but.
Have you ever had any spiritual incidents happen? Anything like somebody, a shadow passing under your door, or somebody sitting on the foot of your bed, anything like that? These are all things I've experienced.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Nothing like that for me. Nope.
I've had it my whole childhood. I've seen ghosts. I've seen shadow figures. I've seen spirits, heard spirits, all kinds of stuff. And not only in my childhood, but in my adulthood too. So my whole life, pretty much.
Yeah. So
it's normal to me.
And children are more open as well, eh? So if it started as a child, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say something. Every person in my family who has passed has all come to me.
You're kidding.
The night that they pass, they come to me in a dream. But it feels different than a regular dream. First off, they talk telepathically to me, but the feeling is different. And that's how I know. When my dad's mom died, we called her Granny. Her youngest son was taking care of her, and we weren't aware that she passed, or that she was going to pass. And the night that she actually passed, we weren't aware, but that night she came to me, and she had dementia. And when she came to me, I was standing in front of her home, and I said, "Oh, Granny," she called my name. I said, "Oh, Granny, you remember me?" And she said, "Yes, I remember you." And then she hugged me. She said, "I just want to tell you, I love you." She hugged me and I hugged her. The next morning I found out that the night before she died.
Now that's absolutely incredible. But would you say that sometimes, because a lot of people would say that's wishful thinking, right? A lot of people.
Well, I had no knowledge of her death. It was so
exactly.
That's and not only her. I mean, this is not the only family member. Her husband, Grandpa, also came to me when he died. My other granny came to me when she died. I have a friend that passed, and she died young. And she came to me after she passed to tell me that she was okay. She said, because I was really upset because she was young. She said, "I just want to let you know I'm okay. I'm all right," and hugged me. And what's so odd about that? She had always had hair down to her waist, but when she came to me, I hadn't seen her in a couple months when she died. And when she came to me, her hair was about this length. And I didn't know this. I said, "It's crazy." I was telling my sister, she came to me and this is how she looked. And what, do they have hairdressers in heaven? I've never seen her with that short of hair. She said, "Oh no, I saw her in Walmart before she died. She got her hair cut off." There's no way I would have known that. I hadn't seen her.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the way, that's proof to me.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It was validation.
Yeah. It's validation. Great word. Yeah. Obviously. And that's where I believe some people have gifts that other people just don't have. So I'm really bothered when, you know, people are trying to fake all these things or make money off that. I hate that stuff. But when you tell stories like that, that's exactly, that's real. There's nothing you can change about that. That wasn't made up. That wasn't thought of. You didn't, you know, you had no idea, no way of knowing in the first place.
That's what the spiritual realm does. They give you things that you can validate.
Right.
They want you to be able to validate.
That's what the numbers are for. That's what the 1111 are, you know, for. And like you said, 1111 has been associated with manifestation. It's also associated with trying to say that you're on the right path. However, as much as I've seen my 1111s over the last year and daily now at this point, you've got to wonder when you also get a 555 and then you're kind of saying, hey, might not be the right path after all, because it's a completely separate thing. But it is all good. Angel numbers, manifestation numbers, whatever way you want to see it for anybody out there. It really is about perspective and teach their own. Everybody's got their own perspective. There is a lot of research out there for people to look up. But once again, we can only talk about our perceptions and the way we perceive things. And we can't preach to other people about making decisions on their behalf. On that note, is there anything else you guys want to chat about?
No, I think that was pretty much it. That was pretty good. So I was talking about that. We could probably do several more podcasts on NDEs and psychic abilities or intuition. You know, if people are interested in hearing about it, I would love to talk about it.
I love talking about it too. And it's going to be nice come June when we have a guest on every other show and things like that. And because we can bring other people's perceptions or ideas into it as well, which is always interesting. Just to let people know that soon, once we do go into India, the plan is in June, of course, to also talk about matching people based on their compatibility through synastry, which once again is about the your birth placements and your birth chart, which is very, very essential. Some people believe in Western astrology, which is tropical astrology, and some people prefer to believe in Vedic astrology. There is a lot of information on those subjects as well, which I would like to talk about in the near future, but we will wait until we go into India to talk about the different placements that we all have. Just a quick little example. Tasha, I know that you would not be a Virgo in Vedic astrology or Vedic astrology, just like I'm not a Virgo. I would be a Leo and my rising would be Aries. So all of these things are for another time. But on that note, we hope that you guys try out our app on Apple and Google, which is astrodipity.com. We will be in India at astrodipity.in as of the end of next week. And hoping that you enjoy meeting new people, whether it's for career, whether it's just for friendship, whether it's for a relationship, all are important. As you can see, we've got a lovely group of people here and we're all good friends that are compatible with each other. And I think compatibility is very, very important. And that's the reason for our app. Yes. So on that note, I'd like to say goodbye for myself, Cass.
Good night. Have a great evening.
And we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.